And hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. This is where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I am David Hetty, filling in for Brandon Rhodes.
Yes, you are.
Just got married and couldn't be here for some reason.
I can't imagine why.
I don't know.
He's doing it.
We are broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet,
Etc., etc. Yeah, you can get in touch with us at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com, or you can call us at 503-847-9774. So, Mr. David Hetty, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, thanks for being here tonight.
It's been a tough day. I didn't mention this yet, but my dog was killed by a pit bull today.
Seriously?
Not Bodhi, but my family dog.
Oh, okay.
It's been a tough day.
Because I know your dog, Bodhi, and that would have been tragic. If this is the first I'd heard about it, I'm not sure what I would have done with myself.
Is this the dog you grew up with? Yeah, he was my dog through college, and then I passed him off to the parents, and pit bull attacked him today. It was pretty sad.
Yeah.
So it's been a hard day, but...
I've been told there are only bad pit bull owners. There are no actual bad pit bulls. But it sounds like maybe that was kind of a bad pit bull. At least the incident.
It's hard to say. I don't know enough about the situation.
Sorry to hear that. How old was it?
Oh, he's 8 years old.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so. Well. Yeah.
Rest in peace, Riley Hubbard.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, David Hetty. We're also in the room with Rob Sadowski of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I'd love to be here.
Yeah. We got to give you compliments and props for being probably one of the most comfortable behind a microphone or like even before you got behind a microphone, just being here and jumping right into conversation. Some people don't do a lot of microphone talking. And sometimes you can tell, but you, sir, you're very comfortable with that. And that makes this so much more the easier. So thank you again for joining us. Mr. Hetty, you were at the wedding with me.
Was.
And many other people on Saturday. And so Brandon got married. And yeah, it was good times. It was a wedding ceremony down at Oxbow Regional Park, which is our Tri-County Parks division. Mm-hmm. They have a fine facility down there, and it was a rainy day. It was a rainy wedding, and I think some of us were worried that it wasn't going to come off right. Like it wasn't the whole event was going to be, you know, like the worst day ever because of the rain and mm-hmm. because it was a wedding. But a lot of people pulled together. They were pooling their ingenuity and their good tidings and goodwill, and they made it happen. So
it was beautiful.
I was impressed. Wedding. Yeah, yep. And there was a lot of beer. So much so that we're still drinking the leftovers, actually. We have a keg of MacTarnahan's Amber. And is it MacTarnahan's or McTarnahan? I mean, it's
no
pronounced... hang on just a minute. I should explain. In the absence of a working soundboard app to play all the sound stuff off of, I'm just playing it like off of my iPod, off of a playlist. So there's very, very much a possibility that we might hear sounds that we don't want to hear later on, but... I'll do my best to minimize that.
That's okay. I was just in Cycle, Oregon. I heard lots of sounds I didn't want to hear.
I would imagine so. Nice. Just on the wedding, I think the inception noise made its way in because I was running sound for that wedding.
I heard that.
And so, yeah, that they said something about, we're married and there's dessert. And there was a pregnant pause. And so that I felt like that was my cue just to slip in one of those, which there it is. Just like that. And it was exciting. So anyways.
Yeah, one of my favorite parts of the wedding, Brock, was when the first dance they call it. So it's kind of a slow classical song and all of a sudden change of song and they start busting out into this rehearsed dance that they'd put together.
That's right, to the final countdown.
The final countdown,
yeah,
that's right.
Which was beautiful. Yeah, there were mock punches and mock reactions to punches and all that. And it was a wonderful thing. So, yeah. Well, anyways, Brandon is off. So, Mr. Hetty, you're filling in. Next week, Aaron Flores from Team Sincerity is going to be filling in as we interview the lady from Street Books. So, anyways, we got a couple of guest hosts, and then Brandon will be back after that. So, all you folks out there, if you're missing Brandon's dulcet tones, you'll just have to wait. Was there anything else? What are you doing these days? Because we haven't had you on the show in a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Well, primarily helping to care for a 3-month-old daughter.
Right.
Annika.
That's a full-time
Annika
job.
Annika Rain. So, it's a full-time job. We have a 2.5 or 2.75-year-old.
That's
right. Just a full-time job. I work for Habitat for Humanity full-time, so spend a lot of time organizing AmeriCorps members. And,
right. Yeah. I would have thought you spent a lot of time like with nails in your hand, like getting ready to strategically swing a hammer as the billboard shows. But
I like to think that I do that, but
you do it with emails.
With emails,
yeah, you have a keyboard in one hand and emails in the other.
Exactly.
You're just dispatching them off to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to do a little building, but it's really a couple times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, either way, what you do makes a difference, sir. That's good.
Thank you, Brock.
Yeah. Well, should we roll into our headline? I'm trying to think if there's anything. Just before we roll into headlines, shall I say, we just finished moving. Brandon, because he got married, is moving downstairs with his wife, because Brandon and I and my wife Adele and I have shared a house for the past 2 years now. Brandon has lived here for 3. Anyways, our old roommate moved out. Brandon and his wife will move downstairs, and Adele and I moved into the upstairs part. So we just finished all the transition. So we're in a brand new podcasting studio. So if any of you notice the acoustics, if they're better or if they're not better, you can tell us about it. We did shut the windows, so you can't hear the squeaky toy from the dog next door right now. But that could always make an appearance later. So anyways, shall we do the headlines?
We shall.
All right, here they come. Oh, no, this is the screw thing about... There we go. Now it works. This is Hurtbird,
what
by the way.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast as we can into the night light.
Are you okay with reading these, by the way?
Sure.
I wasn't sure if I was clear about that, but...
Yeah, and then I'll pause at the end of each and
exactly.
Commentary. Let's
yeah.
do it.
All right.
So these are the headlines. The first one is Rowdy Kittens. This comes from Rowdy Kittens, which I don't follow that one.
Yeah, that's it's a blog from Tammy, who is one of our former guests, and Logan Smith, who is one of our frequent commenters. And actually, we got some stuff from him later, I think. So we'll mention that. But yeah, that's it's a fantastic blog about simplifying your life, downsizing, and living in tiny houses.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've looked at this before, but this is Tammy participates in and comments on a Move by Bike event.
Yeah.
Also likes it.
That's right. She was favorably disposed towards the Moving by Bike. And this was one of the better, like I've read about, like, say, shift2bikes.org. That's one of those websites where if you live in Portland, oh, there goes that thing again. I gotta stop it. If you live in Portland, a lot of bikey events get posted up there. It's kind of like the Craigslist of bikes or something like that. Everyone's telling you all the things that happen. And I'm sure, Rob, you're no stranger to shift2bikes.org.
Yeah, no, it's and less Craigslist for me, more smorgasbord.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, it's not because nobody's buying or selling anything. It's just like, hey, there's cool shit happening over here. And look over there, there's more. And they're the ones that kind of coordinate the Pedal Palooza event each year, which is 3 weeks of bicycle craziness.
Only some of which is naked.
That's right, right. But
it's
much
growing,
more, much more than last year.
The nakedness seems to be growing.
It's true. I got hung up on that whole idea. I'll move on.
Back to the bike move.
The bike move, anyways, was it's just something that I've never had a really good description of kind of how the bike move thing works. I've never read that. I've read like, oh, they happen, and I've seen pictures. Pictures are worth thousands of words, but Tammy puts it into great words, just saying, hey, this is what happened, and I got to participate, and it was wonderful. So
it's kind of like a barn raising event.
It is. I just watched Witness with Harrison Ford I watched it yesterday. Yeah. So I remember the iconic barn raising sequence, which none of them, I'm sure, because Amish don't like to be photographed, none of them were actual Amish.
What was her name? She was like from Top Gun.
Right, right. Oh, is that where she was from?
No, she wasn't blonde.
Not in this one either, at least. But I do not remember her name. Anyways, but she was an Amish skank. She wasn't a good Amish lady. But that's entirely beside the point. So, there we go. Oh, here's it. Oh, there we go. It's one of those transitory sounds.
Okay, moving on. This one from Bike Portland. Car sharing service Zipcar ruffles some feathers with new unbikey ad.
Yeah, and I see you nodding your head, Rob. You're familiar with this whole thing.
Yeah. In some ways, I think the criticism comes from people who take themselves too serious, but who also expect more from a car sharing program than I might.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, well, just in short, the Zipcar thing, and there was lots of this online. The whole bicycling community kind of latched onto it and lampooned it together. Mm-hmm. It was a triumphant raising of fists into the air, you know, against Zipcar, the corporate entity. But the basic idea of the ad was it was what like two people on bicycles with tons of crap in their arms and they're riding down
falling
the street.
Out. They can't manage it. Right?
Mm-hmm. Two business professionals in a downtown setting.
Right, yeah. Right. And business professionals on bicycles always look silly. So that was why they chose that. They don't really look silly, but that, you know, exaggeration for comic effect.
Exactly.
So anyways, they were on bicycles riding away. And the caption is, sometimes you just need a car. Asserting that basically, these folks on bicycles, they're dropping their stuff. And there was a whole rash of repurposings of this whole thing. I believe it was one of the guys from Cycle Wild might have stripped the actual people on bikes out of the ad so that you could place them into other backgrounds, other scenarios, mm-hmm. create your own captions. Russ from Path Less Pedaled was the guy who took the Walking Dead scene, the promotional poster where, you know, like all the cars abandoned, leaving Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia, are all, you know, stacked up there. And instead of the iconic, like, you know, sheriff on the horse riding into Atlanta to save the day, you got a guy on a bike just kind of bicycling toward Atlanta and towards his impending doom at the hands of zombies. But it said, sometimes you just need a bike. And that was a great one. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it was good times. So let me get you another one of these those things.
The next one comes from Path Less Pedaled. Talking about Russ. Russ gives a thorough and informative rundown of Brompton touring.
Right, right. And this is a very technical description. It's basically like you thought we couldn't do it on Bromptons. You thought we couldn't ride thousands of miles. And well, we did, and this is how we did it. And I probably said that with more sass than Russ would say because he's a nice guy. But it's basically just like, yeah, this is exactly how it works. So if you had any of your questions, it's almost like the FAQ for or FAQ, as some people would say, the fact sheet for how to do touring with Bromptons. So it was very informative. Have you followed this? Have you seen what they're up to?
I've browsed it, but I haven't been following them.
They got a lot of information up there.
But they've been out for a couple months now, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got my postcard from them a couple weeks ago, which is kind of exciting.
Nice.
If you gave them a donation through their fundraising site, and it was Indiegogo.com, I think, was the fundraising. It was kind of like Kickstarter, but not Kickstarter. And basically, if you pledged, you know, some level of support, they would send you correspondence from the road. So I got that from somewhere in Montana. It had a fly fisherman on the postcard. It was great.
I would have gone big. Don't they come to your house and eat with you?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. But
for an extra $10.
That's right.
Eat your apples. They're really great. I mean, in some ways, it's an opportunity to live the life I want to live.
Right.
But I don't actually have to do it.
Right.
Because they're doing it for me.
Well, they have a blog, and blogs are great for vicarious living. That's what I do all the time when I'm living my actual life and not doing what I would rather be doing out on the road. Yeah, it's a great way to keep yourself entertained. That and the Twitter feed of Rob Sadowski. What was the thing? There was something, Rob, on your feed just recently. It was overheard at Cycle Oregon. It was like,
oh, that was good.
What, my nipples are chafing.
My nipples are so sore. I'm going to put some of that butt butter on it.
That's right. Yeah,
and a lot of people wanted to know, was that a woman or a man? Of course, it was a man who said that.
Right, right. Women don't talk about their nipples in public if they're polite. But
I never knew that rule.
Well, I mean,
didn't either.
My mother probably would.
It's true.
That.
Yeah, my mom neither. Yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
You didn't know we were going to talk about nipples, did you?
I didn't. I'm getting a little excited over here.
I would imagine.
This next one's from Bike one Portland. Readers submit amazing photos of cargo bikes in China.
That's right. This is one of those user submitted that we had a story on the podcast sometime 9 months ago or something like that, where we had pictures of impossibly loaded bikes in China. And this was even more submissions of how people apparently in the city where some of these photos were taken, the inner city core is shut down to large vehicle traffic. So instead of a tractor trailer, a lot of people will get things to and from different places, cargo, by bicycles. So you've got big bikes, big trikes, and enormous loads. You know, like 70% of what you see is just like big boxes or a bag of chickens or something like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Most of them are probably on the Flying Pigeon bikes.
Are they?
I think so. Tell That's me about pretty the much fly- the standard.
Tell me about the Flying Pigeon.
Well, I know them from, I spent a little time in Sudan doing agricultural work, and pretty much the only bike available was the Flying Pigeon, which I guess got shipped to Khartoum, and then they would bring them down to outlying towns.
I think it's made in India.
Made in India.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then, yeah, up in India too, just everywhere.
Yeah. So if you're interested in the stuff, there's a group called World Bicycle Relief. They're doing some amazing stuff. And
nice. And is it the Flying Pigeon, is that a brand or is it just...
it's a brand.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, and it's just basically the super heavy, well-built, last for a long time bicycle.
I'm making a note of it now so I can put a link up later.
Flying Pigeon.
Why don't you tell us what the next headline is, Eddie?
The next headline is from Rowdy Kittens. Tammy writes a great article about going cell phoneless. Overrated.
Well, yeah, I know you and I have had our conversations about that, David. I remember when I was telling you about the plan not to have a cell phone, and you were like, that's ridiculous. Well, I mean,
not in the simplification, because I can appreciate that.
But it is kind of ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why I like it and why I chose it.
Sure.
Anyways, they give a kind of a full rundown, kind of like the Brompton Touring article. This is the FAQ about going without a cell phone. So now that they've had some experience, I'd kind of like to have somebody else's input on that. And I think I wrote to Logan. I know Logan listens to every show, so I could probably just speak into the microphone. Logan, do you want to be on the show? And I'll wait for him to email me back. And he will. The first episode we had was actually my account of going without a cell phone. So
wow.
Yeah. Mr. Sadowski, is that craziness or not? I'll let you be the arbiter of this.
I live with my wife doesn't have a cell phone.
Oh, nice.
I kind of make up for overusing my own cell phone. No, she's not crazy. But sometimes I just want to give her a walkie-talkie so I can find her when we're in Target.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. The original push to talk.
Yes.
It was one of those, I had one of those when I was a kid. It had the actual voice thing, like you press the button and talk over the walkie-talkie signal, and then it had the Morse code, a little orange button where you just push it and go beep, 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 you know, and it had like little visual representations of the dots and dashes and what each letter was, and I never learned any of it. Yeah.
Now's probably not the time, but I would say our relationship has changed somewhat since you not having a cell phone.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not saying it's bad.
Oh, yeah.
It's
just...
I don't see as much.
It's true.
See as much.
Well, it's funny too, because like you and I live like four blocks from each other, right?
Right.
I was going to say three, but it's probably four.
Probably four.
Technically. But yeah.
Anyways, yeah. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, it's all good. We're also in different life stages because, I mean, you have two children now. Adele and I are still barren. And so that means, I guess, you know, just that we're not barren. We could have kids anytime we wanted to. We just don't. See episode 9. But. That's the one where we talked about doing it and not having kids. Yeah.
Yep.
Basically, different life stages. Like you and I. Sorry, Rob.
We talk about sex here too, Rob.
Hear it again. We're so far afield now, I feel like we should just kind of cut our losses and move on. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, this time around, I have an actual headline closing thing right here.
You're taking a lot of responsibility in owning and riding a bicycle. You are now an operator of a wheeled vehicle.
That, of course, was the fantastic local Portland band Hurtbird, who has that song, I Like My Bike. And we finally have two halves of it to kind of bookend our news segment so no one's confused. Well, here we are now, and we've got about 10 minutes to the break. So, Mr. Sadowski, we're going to introduce you. But as you may know, if you've heard the show before, every guest gets a fanfare. So are you familiar with the choices, or shall I read them to you?
No, I'm not familiar.
Okay. We have what I thought was kind of a classic movie sounding fanfare. We have a royal fanfare. We have a Chinese gong. We have the guy from K2 going, I'm a bikineer. And then we also have Obama saying that we're going to out-hustle everybody else.
Well, I guess, you know, coming from Chicago, I'll choose the Obama.
Oh, there we go. Okay. So I'll give you the full cut then. And this is...
I'd like to claim some responsibility for that one.
Mr. Hedy's the one that turned me on to this because I never listened to the news, so I have no idea what the president's saying until someone else tells me.
This was in State of the Union address.
Is that really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay. Well, there we go. So anyway, here we go.
Winning the future involves out hustling everybody else.
That's right. Oh, and there was just a tiny bit of the Inception noise. I present to you Mr. Rob Sadowski of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and also of Chicago and now also of Portland. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So we should probably start. I think the first thing I wanted to ask you about was basically just kind of like your journey, both to Portland and to bicycles. So give us the yarn.
Well, my journey to bicycles is kind of, I don't know, boring in some ways.
Is that right?
I was biking to work because when you live in Chicago and you work downtown in Chicago, you could take the train, you can drive, or you can bike. And they're all three the same speed, but one of them was free.
Ah, there we go.
And very regular. I'd get there and back no matter what time of day. And I started biking on a regular basis. My life career has been around affordable housing and economic development work. But then somehow, someone I met who worked for the Bike Advocacy Organization in Chicago, which at the time was called the Chicagoland Bicycle Federation, said, hey, we could use your help in some fundraising, because I was doing a lot of fundraising work and executive coaching for nonprofits. So I got involved as a volunteer. Then I got on board, involved on the board of directors. And when former executive director was deciding to, step down and move into a new role, he asked me to apply for the job and, I was in a situation and a job which I hated. So it was
perfect.
Kind of the right time, right place.
It was a good time to make a change.
And I got into transportation without any transportation policy experience at
all.
Wow. Hmm. Yeah.
And so,
That's great.
20 years ago, 15 years ago, you met me in a party. I probably wouldn't even, the word bicycle wouldn't have come up in any kind of conversation with me.
Sure.
At all. And now it's like, he's the bike guy.
Nice. What was your first ride like? What was the inaugural kind of getting into it?
Well, I remember deeply in grade school riding bicycles in the Bay Area in California.
Oh, there we go.
Deep guts of ground that had been separated probably from earthquakes, and riding around
riding
in a dump
the fault.
Area and just, yeah, riding on the fault line, not knowing it was a fault line. And having that experience, let's see. I also remember riding to school and college because that was the way to get from place to place.
Sure. What's your alma mater?
University of Michigan.
There we go.
And
I think our friend Aaron might have gone there.
And then right? Interesting.
Right.
I moved when I first came to Chicago. I started rollerblading.
Oh, really?
It was fun. Mm. And I worked maybe a 5-minute car ride away. So I was like, this is crazy. I should do something. So I rollerbladed. And then when I went downtown, I tried to rollerblade downtown, which I did a couple times, but it was like an hour trip. And you're not even supposed to ride on the side. When you get downtown in Chicago, you can't rollerblade on the sidewalks and you can't rollerblade on the streets. So I was screwed.
Really?
I totally screwed. So
what would you do? Just pop them
you have
off
to break
and
a
walk?
Yeah. You fly. Yeah.
Seriously. We have skateboarding paths, don't we?
We have, and, yeah, we have routes through
skate
Portland.
Skate routes, yeah.
Yeah, there's signs to tell you where to and to not go.
Actual signed skate routes, which I always thought was hilarious. But, I mean, that's active transportation. It's no more hilarious than riding your rollerblades to work. And honestly, it's no more hilarious than riding your bike. So,
mm-mm. Actually, I think it is. Actually,
oh, okay.
More hilarious.
It's slightly more.
Pogo sticking through Portland would be kind of.
It's decidedly less hilarious than riding a Segway.
The Segways are not hilarious at all.
Except that the guy that created them died on a Segway.
Oh, he did?
I think so.
Are you serious?
So you're saying it's ironically hilarious.
It's ironically
there
hilarious.
There we go. Yeah. Well, that works for me.
Yeah.
I think we should do one of the Zipcar logos with rollerbladers. fit that in somehow.
That's right, because it's just like the silhouette of a car. So you just have like the silhouette of a rollerblade. And then you have like the rollerblades there on the curb, and you could like tap your card against them and put them on and skate away. And then Dire Straits would start playing in the background.
Can I choose that? That would be a really good one.
Oh, the Dire Straits song? Yeah. Skate Away. I was listening to that the other day. I think it's copyrighted, so I don't think we can play it on this show. But yeah, so it goes. I'm sorry.
Oh, well.
Yeah, anyways. You told us some of your bicycle stories from early life. I was thinking also the first commute by bike, when you finally chose to do that, was that was it difficult? Or was it just kind of like new?
Difficult in many ways, because I suffer from a mild form of asthma.
Okay.
And it was a 7-mile commute. It took me an hour. I remember really not enjoying it, and a friend of mine saying, oh, it'll be okay, just keep on doing it. I had a mountain bike with big fat tires. This is Chicago. It's flat, so there's no elevation or any issues.
Knobby
like
tires as well?
Yeah, knobby mountain tires. And then that bike got stolen, ended up getting just a regular road bike. Not a road bike, but a really designed commuter bike. Changed my life, made it faster. But since that first week that I biked, I have not had any asthma problems. I've only had to take an inhaler when I've had bronchitis due to a cold.
Wow.
So I attribute riding a bike for commuting purposes, changing my health.
Right. And revolutionizing it for the better, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh. That's fantastic. That's actually one of the first stories I've heard about that. I mean, I don't go out looking for stories about asthma, I guess, but that's surprising to me, I guess, because I always kind of figured it was one of those things that like you have it or you don't.
It's always been a mild form. About athleticism. Not that I'm an athlete, anaerobic exercise could always kick it in, like playing basketball. But even now, I have no problems. I did like a 91-mile. Ride on Monday as part of Cycle Oregon and no asthmatic problems at all.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's great. And Cycle Oregon, we might've mentioned already in the recording. I can't remember. We were talking very much about Cycle Oregon before we started taping, but, it's that big rolling bicycle tour with a big party at the end every night, which is pretty fantastic. Someday I'd love to go, but,
so you did fun. A few days of it.
I was there for the whole 7 days. I rode 5 of the 7 days. I blew out my knee day 2. Mm. So I did my best to kind of keep
push
up
on.
And push on. Probably, I'm sure my doctor probably hates me for this, but,
sure.
It's a very much an experience, and I can see how some people can really love it. It's just not what I love about biking.
Right.
I love the commute. I like the short ride. I like the long ride, even like a 30-mile ride, but 90 miles up a hill, with a bunch of people at the end of the day, you got to share the porta potty with. It just didn't, it wasn't my favorite. But God bless them for trying.
Yeah.
The best parts I had were when nobody was around. And I was just riding by myself through forest. Mm-hmm. So you can do that through bike touring without having to pay $1,000 for it.
Right.
But one again, it was like, I met a guy who had never, his wife was turning 50, decided for her birthday was going to buy her Cycle Oregon, had never biked, bought bikes in May.
Oh, my.
And went. It was just like, wow. We're doing this. Yeah. And
they
hired someone to train them. These were pretty wealthy people from Arkansas. They had they had a motorhome I think they paid their lawn boy from Arkansas to come with them to drive their motorhome.
Wow.
That's Cycle Oregon. Part of it is not, it's
right.
There's only a certain crew that can go, can afford it, can be there.
Sure. Be away from work.
Sack wagon city.
Guys like you.
Yeah, right.
Guys like me.
Living the high life.
Yeah.
If I'd had a sound effect for that, I would have played it right there. But I was kind of falling down on the job. Well, Rob, why don't you tell us just in very brief, we talk about simplifying the good life on the Sprocket podcast. What is the good life for you, and how does simplicity factor into it?
Well, to me, it's about making choices in what you consume, what you eat, what you love, and a lot of it's local for me. Mm-hmm. So, I want to know where the farm that's growing my food. I'm in a CSA. That's important to me. I want to know that I can get from place to place and be a part of a smaller community. And a bicycle is one great way of opening up the whole world. When you bike around a town like Portland, or even take your bike to some of the suburban communities, you realize it's really not that far away. Mm-hmm. And that's part of that closeness, that intimacy of a community that I'm looking for.
Right, right. That's good. I feel like Portland is a good town to do that in. I mean, you could probably do it anywhere, but like simply the architecture of the streets here, like a lot of stuff is still on a grid as opposed to in a cul-de-sac. Although, I mean, we're here on a cul-de-sac now, but yeah, it seems like, Portland is more disposed towards that and kind of, in policy and planning, a lot of stuff is kind of planned for that to be one of the higher values as well. So,
and you also have communities of character that isn't just focused on a central business district. So you can experience different parts of Portland, whether it's out here on the southeast side and experiencing different cultures, whether it's Korean culture or Vietnamese mm-hmm. culture and Mexican culture, or you can come into the northeast side and experience different elements. Mm-hmm. And it's not that far away.
Right, right. Or if you live in our neighborhood, there are prostitutes.
The prostitute culture.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not all that's here, but but this is where you go if you're looking for that.
Well, on your bike?
Right, right. See, that's the thing. Yeah.
Hey, I was on my bike right before this show getting a beer and saw a couple drug deals go down.
Right.
Just two blocks away.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's kind of, it happens from time to time. This is Glenwood Park is where the dude got shot with the weed deal, like at 2 a.m. or something like that. Yeah. Well, it was like the...
They didn't have to deal weed anymore. Can't you just buy it?
Right, right. You see, that's just a silly crime.
You just get a prescription, actually.
Yeah.
Well, when I broke my collarbone, so many people told me, dude, you can now get a prescription really easy. And I'm like, I have asthma. I can't smoke. Oh, can you give me the prescription?
just get it prescribed and then pass it along.
Oh, my gosh.
Be a good guy. Be a champ.
Take one for the team.
Well, I think we're probably here at the break time and looking at the clock. Indeed, that is so. So let me introduce, we got a little piece of music here. It is The Bicycle Song by David Rovix. I heard about this from Portland Afoot from their art issue. You can find David at davidrovix.com. It's ROVICS.com. And we'll be back on the other side with Rob Sadowski, and he'll tell us about the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and bicycling in Portland. Once again, The Bicycle Song from David Rovix.
Everybody's wondering what they're gonna do. Everything's a mess and folks are feeling blue. If your troubles got you down so much you can't abide, get on that bicycle and ride. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride. Ride, 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 ride. They're doing it in Eugene, Havana, and Shanghai. Even folks in Boston town are giving it a try. Throwing out their gas tanks, the clean air by their side. Just get on that bicycle and ride. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride, 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 ride. It's good for your heart and it's good for your brain. When those fluorescent lights are driving you insane, your toes will tingle in your shoes when to the pedal they reply. Just get on that bicycle and ride. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride, 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 ride. You're having troubles with your lovers, the tandem's made for that. You'll work together wonderfully or else you'll just go splat. Gonna shut down Main Street, make the bike paths far and wide, and get on that bicycle. Yeah, get on that bicycle and ride. Neath the sunny skies or along the ocean side, just ride, 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 ride.
Welcome back to the Sprocket Podcast. My name is Brock. That's David Hetty over there. And this is Hi. Mr. Rob Sadowski of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. And Rob, Tell us about the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, what it is and what it does, and where it's going.
Sure. Bicycle Transportation Alliance simply is the group out there that is there for bicyclists. We're helping make things happen. We're encourage municipalities, individuals to just do more, get on your bike and be happy. Mm-hmm. So the way I look at it is, like, AAA is there for cars, we're there for bicycles, except,
okay. Except
we have a different vision
number.
For the way the street should be designed in the first place.
Huh. So what is that vision for the streets then?
So our vision for the streets are streets that, I can be riding down the street with my wife next to me on a bicycle and have a conversation and feel safe doing that in a way that allows us to really enjoy the experience that we're doing. Mm-hmm. It's a neighborhood that I can walk to or bike to easily to go shopping. I don't have to go into this huge mega mall in order to do my daily shopping, and I don't need a huge SUV because I'm going to Costco, which requires me to put huge amounts of toilet paper into my back seat.
Right.
So those kind of informative ways of how we're transforming communities from communities that are bland, that are hard to experience, to ones that are really fun to experience. I think that's the vision that BTA is trying to bring about. And then we got to get it done, right? We got to look at clear policy changes that we're going to have both at the local level, at a county level, at a regional level, as well as a state and federal level. We need potential legislation that's going to help impact that. We need money to make sure that we've got the resources to be able to do what we can. And those are all on our radar. This is the kind of thing that we're trying to do, is say, okay, we know we only have a few limited amount of resources. There's just so much we can do. Mm-hmm. Let's focus that. Let's make it so it works. And let's do something that's relevant to the people that, you know, are paying their dues. They're paying their membership dues and making it happen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where do you start then?
Well, we're going to start in the Tri-County area. We're going to say, let's make this local. We've got so many people here in the Tri-County area with a lot of things that we want to envision. So our boots on the ground type of advocacy that work, that says, okay, we're going to bring a trail here. We're going to bring a specific bike lane to a specific area. That's going to be in the Tri-County area. Statewide, what we're going to do is focus on policy change at the Oregon Department of Transportation, as well as legislation that can help bring more resources or policy change when ODOT doesn't want to do it on their own.
Sure.
And so that's our focus. Statewide, policy change. Statewide, legislative work. Local, in the Tri-County area, we're going to focus. So for a community maybe like in Ashland or Corvallis or other communities outside that Tri-County area, we're not going to be there maybe in the way that people perceived us to be in the past. But what we'd like to do is help incubate local organizing, local community efforts in those communities so that they can do their own work, and we'll be there as a resource and a friend and a mentor and an ally.
Okay.
Right on.
Yeah, because traditionally the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, it's always been focused around the Portland metro area. But
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, it seems like sometimes there have been other, like, splinter cells or something like that, where there are people working in other parts of the state. But
not everybody knows. Originally, we were the Portland Bicycle Advocacy Coalition.
PBAC.
Yeah, great name. Yeah. Not the BTA is much better. And then a few years ago, about a dozen, 10 years ago, there was a concept in saying maybe we should be statewide. It's not a very big state. Let's try to develop the statewide system with local chapters.
Hmm.
So local chapters kind of started. You got this Washington BTA. You got a few other groups that were starting. And yet at the same time, there wasn't this strong philosophy in staffing to say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get it done. Great concept.
Sure.
Bad implementation.
Kind of like the Lions.
So
necessarily. I mean, I don't know. I have nothing against the Lions, but but they're everywhere.
Actually,
I never know what they do.
You know, it's in some ways it's more, you know, like you might have a statewide Sierra Club and then a local community, mm-hmm. Local area.
Sure.
So it seemed to make sense. When I came in, we had some conversations both on our board as well as staff, as well as community folks that were part of that conversation that we were going through to help develop our strategic plan. And one thing we learned was, you know, it just wasn't happening. We weren't, we weren't effective at it. We didn't have enough staff resources to do effective organizing in Ashland. And there was a strange perception that was going on there for folks that from a Eugene or an Ashland says, you're not a statewide group. There were people from Portland that said, you're a statewide group. And so
we got people in Ashland. Woo.
so we said, let's look at where our resources are. So let's look at where the dollars are and people in terms of paying their dues to us as members. And let's look at where the potential is. So mm-hmm. we decided to focus on the Tri-County area. And that excludes, unfortunately, Clark County in the state of Washington at this point. There's some really good reasons for that. It's a different Department of Transportation. It's a different state, mm-hmm. Different government, different politics. And it would just increase our work exponentially as opposed to just simply... Yeah. So instead, what we're doing is working with some of our partners across the border, Bike Alliance in Washington, and say, hey, can you help do a little more work there so that that gap is not wide?
Yeah, and that's something, David, you used to live in Clark County in Washington State, in Vancouver, Washington, yep. that I remember hearing.
You did too.
I did too, actually. Yeah, it's where I lived between times, I guess. I lived in Portland when I first moved here, and then I lived in Washington for a long time. Yeah, and it's different area code, which is sometimes the biggest issue if you don't have a calling card, but that was the college days. but yeah, I remember hearing that there's another organization that's kind of stepping up to some of the stuff that the BTA would otherwise possibly be doing, maybe ad hoc, if not officially.
Yeah. And we'd love it. Maybe mm-hmm. if there's a way we can help, we're there to help. Right, we're not there to get in their way.
Yeah.
When it comes with legislative and policy change, we'll work together, figure mm-hmm. out how we can work together. And yeah. we're doing that with friends in Seattle and Idaho and say, what can we do through quote Cascadia to try to become more powerful?
Yeah. Yeah. And in Idaho with the Idaho stop law, if we could get that everywhere, my goodness, what a paradise it would be.
Depending
on your feelings about that.
No, I think in many ways you're right that if we can get the Idaho stop, it'll be a paradise. I think we need a lot of work to get there, and we need to change a lot of cultural and components in order to get there. And right now, as a bicycling community and the kind of power base that we have in Salem does not allow us to win that kind of legislative battle. In fact, if we try to have that legislative battle, it'll make the rest of our work that much harder.
Mm-hmm.
We are perceived in many communities, in some cases, probably the great majority of Oregon communities, the bison community is seen as rogue, as careless, as reckless. And the Idaho stop just represents that from their
right.
perspective. So
right.
you're putting forth a policy change that says, we would like to legally do things that are reckless and rogue. And yes, we can go through the full explanation and you can show the Spencer Boomhauer a video, which is phenomenal about
yep.
how great this law could be.
Right.
But what we're still arguing is we want special treatment and
right.
it's not working. And until we can develop the kind of political base and power base that shows that we can get that vote, but also until we can show that we're responsible operators of vehicles on the road,
right?
It's gonna be hard to win Idaho stop. So if anyone's out there listening and saying, god, I wish BTA would take on Idaho stop bill,
it failed.
Made it really difficult for us to do any other kind of legislative work.
And maybe we should clarify, just for anybody who's unfamiliar with the Idaho stop law, it's basically the idea, because it was mischaracterized by so many people as it allows bicycles to run stop signs, which is not true. But the Idaho stop law was basically allowing bicycles to treat in places where it was legal stop signs as yield signs. So basically, if you're coming up to an intersection and you can see there is no cross traffic and no one else is waiting at, say, a four-way stop or no one else is driving where you would be bicycling, you treat that as a yield sign and you roll right through,
yeah,
which saves your knees quite a bit.
So what I'd like to look at, and I think we're still a few years away from introducing it, is rather than make it legal,
mm-hmm.
is make the offense a secondary offense.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
A secondary offense is where you'd have to have an additional offense in order to be pulled over. So
like carrying an open PBR.
Yes. Or hitting someone is what I was thinking of.
Okay. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. if you fail to yield to a pedestrian, you could be cited for failing to yield to a pedestrian as well as failure to stop. But if all you did was blow right. a stop sign, you wouldn't do that. So you're not openly saying we'd like this to be legal. You're just saying let's make it a secondary offense. So the police right. officer would only be able to ticket you if there was another offense cited.
Okay.
Well, I think that's more maybe winnable. Blowing a stop sign could be cited because that's not what the Idaho. I know you know this, but the Idaho stop laws, you have to slow down. I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't have to come to limit. A full stop.
You don't have to come to a full stop, but you can't blow stop signs or stop lights or. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a fine line.
It is a fine line.
There was recently a story or some research that was being done in Copenhagen, how there's just so many bicyclists that pedestrians are getting hit.
And,
the rate of fatality amongst pedestrians by hit by bicyclists is kind of crazy. And we need to have sane, consistent rules of the road and and have people understand it, teach to that, and treat those offenses seriously. I think one of the big crises that we have, both in Oregon as well as in this country, is that we don't treat the offenses of hitting people seriously enough.
Right.
In Europe, you're taught if a little girl is playing soccer and the ball comes into the middle of the road and she runs out and you hit her, even though it's not at a crosswalk, it's your fault. So you drive as if that will happen at any time. You're scanning the road to make sure that that's not going to happen.
Yeah, right.
And if you get into that situation, you lose your privilege of driving. You lose your license.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even close to that kind of arrangement here. In
right.
Oregon, you can get 20 moving you can be convicted of 20 moving violations before you lose your license.
Oh my.
In 5 years.
That's quite a bit of moving violations.
That's just stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas I'm a school bus driver by trade, and if I have three problems, I think I lose my ability to drive for work. So, yeah, it's one of those things where you kind of wish the standards were a bit higher. It seems like in Portland, the right hook accidents where we've had several people die in the past couple of years, where someone's in a bicycle lane or maybe just on the right-hand side of traffic going straight through an intersection, and a large vehicle would turn and crush them. And, I remember hearing that a lot of the drivers, in those cases were let off, fairly easily. So yeah, it would be nice to see, some more equity, I guess, for human life. But
I completely agree. It's a big part of our new strategic plan is to focus on, both creating education programs at the high school level, at the adult level, at the commercial vehicle driver level, wherever we can, to help encourage safe driving, encourage safe behavior by bicyclists as well, and to try to change the way that we enforce our laws to create more serious enforcement of those laws. And it's going to take a big movement. It's going to take a movement that goes well beyond bicycling. It's going to take a movement that includes pedestrians. It's going to include transit drivers. It's going to include union folks. And you'll see a component of our work at the BTA of reaching out to multimodal components.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue to be a very strongly bicycle-focused organization, but we're going to try to find ways to build a bigger tent.
Right. Is that why it's an alliance and not something else?
You know, originally when the name was formed, Rex Burkholder, when a Metro Councilor was around the table, he wanted something that really spoke of authority. And his idea was the Bicycle Transportation Authority, kind of like the Chicago Transportation Transit Authority.
Became Chicago, which went on to launch the solo career of Peter Cetera.
Yes, exactly. And now I think all he does is manage Demon Dogs hot dogs in Chicago.
Quite true.
Yeah. And so... he wanted something that really spoke of that authority, and there were other folks around the table, but we need to be more membership based. So the alliance was a little bit softening of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not my favorite of names.
Sure.
It has three words that make sense: bicycle, transportation, alliance, although you could define any of them in many different ways. Bicycle is pretty clear. You know, we're the bicycle group. It would be a lot simpler if we were the bike group of Portland or bike Portland.
Is that what you'd call it?
I'd
start over.
No, I think I'd call it Fred if it was up to me. I have this really strange, dry sense of humor.
And everyone would raise their fist and say, best day ever.
Yes.
But yeah.
Yeah.
You were talking about local stuff, things like boots on the ground type projects that you'd like to get behind as an organization. What are some of the good things that you see happening in Portland? What are some of the things where you see work needed?
Well, there's a lot of good things that are happening. Neighbor greenways, which are just an amazing asset to have in a community where a lot of cities are just starting to think about but haven't captured the way that Portland has, are the kind of facilities that get even my wife, who hates to bike, out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
She'd rather bike on a neighbor greenway or what was formerly called a bike boulevard than on a bike lane. She feels safer, and it's just really a fantastic component of what we do here in Portland. The Cully separated bike facility, which is on the northeast side, is something that we're looking at very excitedly to see if it can work and whether it can be the right mix and create safe environment for both for pedestrians and people with disabilities, as well as bicycles and cars, and see how that mix goes.
Mm-hmm.
We call for more separated bike lanes. That's something that we would really like to see. There's some things that we are going to see. Bike sharing is something that we've really pushed hard for and made a real big political battle over because we think it's going to make a big difference. Sunday Parkways is the future of America. It has swept Latin America. It's sweeping parts of America. And everyone who does it says, why haven't we done this before? Eugene just had their very first one yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah. And oh, nice. So these
did
are
you hear
the things
about that?
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Neither did I.
And people are saying, wow, why haven't we done this before?
Yeah. Eugene, Oregon gets its own bike, car-free bike day.
Yeah. Who would have thought that Portland would have done it before Eugene?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And the more that we can do of that, the more that we can build that that network, make it longer, reach more people, I think it's going to help. There are things that we don't do so well, mm-hmm. Particularly separating bike traffic from pedestrian traffic on things like bridges and on trails.
Sure.
Most communities put a little yellow line or something to divide that traffic and keep those separate, make them a little wider or provide a running path. So if you're on the East Bank Esplanade, which is where I broke my collarbone, there's just not a lot of separated traffic. And
maybe you should tell us the story about the broken collarbone.
Well, it's really stupid, and I have no one to blame but myself. I was riding in a group. I was the very end. No one called out pole, and I hit a column that holds up the Morrison Bridge.
Oh, the big one right that in big the one. Middle.
Yeah. It is now called Rob's Column.
So, yeah, I usually go to the right just to make it interesting.
Yeah, I went in it. Right. The first time I saw it was when I hit it.
And this is, I'm trying to think, this is the one where there it's like a little doorway, right, basically underneath the bridge. Or am I thinking of something else?
I don't remember. It's huge.
I don't know, but it turns into a pavers in that area, I believe. And it, yeah, it's bad.
But, you know, let me say simply, shit like that should not be in the middle of a trail.
Indeed.
I don't like bollards. I want to get rid of bollards. It's something that I personally abhor. Really?
What's the alternative? Like on Springwater Trail where you might get crazy.
Okay, first of all, people don't do that stuff. I mean, I'm going to drive on this trail with my what? My ATV?
Well, anyone who's going to drive on the trail already does in our neighborhood. Like
you can get around the bollards.
Yeah, you can get around the bollards. You can easily get around the bollards. You could design it in other ways, including in creative use of cement that mm-hmm. doesn't clip pedals and doesn't clip trailers.
Right. That is a pet peeve of mine.
And particularly in rainy days where you can't see them. They have killed people in many parts of this country, and my worry is it's going to kill someone here. So I'm working with some folks who are engineers to try to remove it as a standard treatment in the national, the municipal, it's the manual for something, someone else will know this, but it's MUTCD. It's basically the manual that says this is what traffic control devices can be. It's the something unified traffic control device. Manual for unified traffic control device.
There we go. Nicely done. Nicely recalled. I'd never heard about big problems with bollards, but I guess and just to define, just so I'm clear, a bollard is it's basically something that sticks up in the middle of the trail, right? It's like a barrier to keep a vehicle from accessing something where it's not supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's so it could be anywhere from knee high to head high. They're often used around federal buildings to prevent trucks from, you know, blowing up buildings and
to avoid terrorism acts.
Yeah, on trails, it's to prevent a vehicle from driving on the trail.
Right.
But they're just, they're often the wrong color. Sometimes, particularly in communities that have yellow stripes down the middle, the bollard is yellow to alert people. But it's the it blends in. You can't even see it.
Or it's
in
just
Portland, it's
gray.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, might as well paint it blood.
Right. Often they are, I suppose.
Yes. And so what happens is people don't see it until too late. They hit it or their pedal hits it. Mm-hmm. And then they're flying. And because bollards are in the intersection, it creates a problem because you're going down in an intersection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an additional hazard there.
Yeah.
That's actually on the Sunday Parkways event. That's where we got hung up because we were towing an enormous trailer and we had a bicycle strapped to the back of the trailer. The trailer fit through the bollard stanchion, but the bicycle did not. It was wider than those, and so that was where everything fell apart. But
another bollard story. Yeah.
It's too bad we couldn't do like a cattle grate system. Like if there's something that, you know, like car tires wouldn't fit through, but bicycle tires would. But that's
there's a lot of folks in the bicycle movement that hate crushed limestone because it's just not as fun to ride as pavement. But there's a lot of people who realize that all it does is screen out people like rollerbladers and skateboarders. Mm-hmm. So it could be your friend too.
Indeed, yeah, and the Katy Trail over in
Missouri.
Missouri, is that where it's at? I've heard it's famous, but I can never remember any of those states' names. My apologies to anyone in the Midwest. Not that our Fort Collins listeners. I know Fort Collins well. You folks are great. You're okay. You're off the hook.
Is that an element to New Belgium beer? Is that why?
Yeah, we got a lot of folks down in down the New Belgium brewery that listen to the show, I think. But yeah. Well, maybe we should, we don't have too much time left here. My, how the time does fly, but maybe we should tap down to some of these things. Brandon Rhodes, our ordinary co-host who is away, had a couple of questions he wanted to slip in here. So maybe we should, is there any of these that stood out to you that you had really passionate responses to? Or because we talked a little bit about.
Let me just real quick say there, you're going to see several focuses for us. Mm-hmm. We're going to really focus on a multi-year funding priority. So we want to bring more money to the region to make things happen. In order for us to get bike sharing, in order for us to get more trails, we need more dollars. We need more dollars from the federal government. But because federal government's harder and harder to get money out of, we need local solutions as well.
Sure.
You're going to see us focusing on a Vision Zero strategy, which is a policy that says we will not tolerate a single death to anyone on the road, whether they're biking, walking, taking transit, or driving. And we want policies in their state, in our local communities. Mayor Adams has already committed to a Vision Zero, and we want to make sure that the next mayor commits to that Vision Zero policy.
Okay.
So that we will not tolerate a traffic fatality and stop the madness that's out there. We want to make biking fun. We want to encourage people to do this for the right reasons and the reason that's right for them, but we don't want to like hit them over the head. It's got to come to them naturally. And so those stories of people who, one of our new board members are soon to be, who's up for election right now, Shelley Romero, who just started biking and just loves it. And she's doing it for health reasons. And it's not because someone says you need to bike to work. It's just come to her and she loves it. And we want to tell those stories and communicate those stories. We also want to lead with safety because we also know that it'll win in those communities like a Holgate in East Portland, which thinks the bikes were crazy. Why are we putting a buffer bike lane down in the middle of Holgate when I was happy before?
Yeah, and the story behind that is just that Holgate is a street out here in East Portland. It goes all the way through town, but way out in East Portland, they decided to remove a lane of traffic, vehicular traffic, and reserve it only for bicycles, and that was a controversial topic.
Yeah, I mean, it was a five-lane road that was designed that way because there was once going to be a freeway and a connection, and they never made that freeway connection.
Right, right.
So to me, it's like, okay, let's approach this. What? How do we take this opportunity to go from five lanes to something smaller and slow traffic, and what should it look like?
Mm-hmm.
What are we trying to accomplish here? Bring community groups and church groups and business leaders and folks that are running businesses and live on that and say, hey, would it be great if we slowed traffic down? And they're going to go, yes, let's slow traffic down. And then you start talking about things like bulb outs and chicanes, which are ways to redesign intersections and slow traffic down. And bike lanes are going to slow traffic down. And people would have said, oh, I get it now. Because bike lane, I don't care if anyone ever rides in that bike lane, mm-hmm. it's going to slow traffic down. But by leading with a bike on this, with a community that didn't care a heck about bicycles, they're saying, why are you spending money in my community on bike mm-hmm. lanes when I don't have a job?
Sure.
So that's one of our challenges. We need to make the case that, A, we need to do this. The infrastructure improvement is important. Mm-hmm. It's going to create safety. Two, it's going to have a long-term impact on our community in terms of climate change, on health reduction, and it's going to save us money over the long term. And three, these are great jobs. The jobs that are being created in the bike movement through mm-hmm. bike lane development, through bike sharing, are new jobs. They're jobs that are much more cost-effective than some of the other jobs that are out there.
Yeah.
And to make that case. And that takes some political finesse that mm-hmm. We want to make sure that our next leader, our next mayor, and other folks that are elected understand that political finesse, and we'll help them do that.
Right. And those are projects that are shovel ready, I suppose. So
yeah, they're pretty shovel ready. they're not a boondoggle in terms of engineering costs. We're not talking about $150 million just to determine whether we should have six lanes or eight lanes across a bridge.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's a big sticky wicket over there, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's a wicket that can be solved. I mean, rational people can solve this. The problem is you get these federal regulations and rules mm-hmm. that say, if you treat this as three separate projects by putting transit and bike and walk and the cars on a separate thing, then you can't share the money in the same way. And there are these rules that make it really complicated and cumbersome.
Right. And we're talking about the Columbia River Crossing yeah. project, trying to redesign the Interstate 5 bridge, which has been controversial as well.
And
so,
as bicyclists, we want it. We want better access. But how many mm-hmm. people, how many members of mine are going to benefit from this bridge?
Sure.
A year. 150 people, maybe?
Right. That's an expensive project.
Should we spend $100 million on a pedestrian bicycle facility where $100 million is 1/6 of the bike plan for Portland. Think right. of what I can get done. Or think of the sidewalks that we can create on East Portland if we had that money. So it's a priority right. question. What should we do? When should we do it? But this is that big, oh, we're going to create all these new jobs project. And it's just hard to fight that. We do what we can. We try to be the voice for reason. We're often criticized for not being a strong enough opponent on the CRC, but my perspective, and I think our board's perspective agrees to this, is we have a lot of work to do. Let's focus. And there are a lot of other people that can scream and shout about the CRC. Let's just get our perspective out there and let's work on the things that we think we can impact and change right now.
Sure. Excellent. Well, looking at our time, I feel like we should probably get to our mailbag segment real quick. Heidi, do you want to help me get in touch with this? But also, Rob, thank you for coming in and sharing some of that stuff. And we do appreciate your time. So cheers to you, sir.
Thank you.
Good luck in the coming years as you're in your seat of power and in prestige.
Good work, Rob.
All right. Hang on. I got one of these here.
Go for it.
There we go.
You've got mail.
There we go. Perfect.
Is AOL still around?
Well, only in our
uses it. No way.
Yeah. Only in our minds and hearts, but yeah.
Oh boy. So we have Susan from Texas writes, calls. I'm sure she emailed. She shared a link on making your own grocery bag panniers for $4.
That's a cool project, and we'll put a link up to that. So it's worth looking at.
And she mentions the Street Books Project, whom we will be featuring soon, as well as the Portland Alternative Dwelling Site, builders of Tammy and Logan's Tiny House.
Yeah, and I gotta see if I can use them to leverage one of those guests onto here. I tried getting in touch with Portland Alternative Dwellings, but I'm sure they talk to lots of people. So anyways, yeah, it's also interesting stuff to look at.
Jeremy, hi, how you doing? From Boston, writes to say hello. He'll be creating a transportation-related podcast soon and can't decide whether he likes bicycles or buses better.
That's right.
Hopefully he'll talk to our friends in Boston from the Bicycle Union, which is doing some really great creative stuff.
Over there we go.
Yeah.
Bookmark that. I want to make sure I put a link up to that as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremy, and then, get in touch with them.
Yeah. And Matt Piccio, actually, is his name.
Piccio, not Piccio?
Yeah, it's Piccio.
Piccio.
Yeah.
If it was a CH, it would be Piccio. I learned that in my Italian 101 class in college.
Yeah, and he wrote in to clarify
did something
that,
for you.
Actually, yeah.
I'm sure he did. I know Matt. He would definitely write in to clarify something.
Matt Piccio at castironcyclist.com and cyclewild.org. Writes in to clarify his name's pronunciation and the size of his skillet. It's 9 inches and 4 pounds. Holy shit.
So, yeah.
I got a recent update. Skillet. I think he's in Iowa now, if anyone's interested in where he is across his country. But he's on his way to Chicago soon.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. And he's been blogging his way across the U.S. I mean, he's been doing a lot more than that. But he's a pretty consistent writer. He spends a lot of time updating people on what he's up to. So it's worth reading if you're interested in that tour literature.
And especially if you like dry humor.
Right, right. Yeah, he's a great guy.
I can tell you do, Rob. Patrick on the FB gives congrats to Team Sincerity for bringing kids along.
Yeah, that's the Facebook, as the kids call it. But yeah, he just left us comments, said, hey, you took kids on a bike tour. It sounds awesome. And then I didn't get a chance to put it in the note sheet, but Logan, just today, actually, I think he listened to our little micro episode where I said, oh, our computer's breaking down. And he said, hey, here's $5. So thanks, Logan, once again. You are our closest and dearest fan. And yeah, anyways, he said, we'll work on getting some fixes to your computer. We nice. Got a brand new computer. The one that we're recording this podcast on tonight is actually, it's brand spanking new. Showed up by UPS on Thursday or something. So anyways, we got the problem fixed. So we do appreciate the good wishes. And we'll put that $5 towards this brand new Macintosh that we're recording on. So
for at least part of the shipping costs.
That's right. Yeah. 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 Actually, the shipping is free. So those folks at Apple, they're so good and so bad at the same time. So I think that's everybody that got in touch with us. Some upcoming episodes. The next couple shows, next week, Laura Moulton from Street Books. It's a mobile library for people who don't have a library card, and it's on a cargo bike. October 2nd, Lillian from the Portland Afoot podcast. She just went down to the Car Free Cities Summit, I think, down in Guadalajara, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And she's going to come up and tell us a little bit about that and probably a bunch of other things. October 9th, Dave Foyt from PortlandEyes.com, who I had to write to clarify the pronunciation of his name as well, because I do a terrible job at that. And then October 16th, Jill from Zanger Farm, which is right here in Portland, Oregon, and they do some stuff with farms and food. So we'll talk about that.
My wife's over there right now, by the way.
That's right. She's feeding the chickens, right?
Feeding the chickens.
Yeah. So, well, let me
so who's
roll
with
us.
The kids?
She takes him. Yeah. And Brock's wife, actually.
Oh, dang.
No, Brock's wife actually watching him. That's part of the deal with me coming over here tonight. Where are the kids?
That's a good question.
Man, she's 3 months old.
What about the children? Well, let me give the credits and we'll be done here. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Share that with your friends, buddies, and family members. Send us feedback about the program, suggestions for topics, guests, drinks, anything else. Our email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. You can call us and tell us your stories. We'll play those on the podcast as well if we like them. It's 503-847-9774. We might even play them if we don't like them. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. You can find him on the internet at myspace.com/RyanJLane. And thanks to Hurtbird, local Portland band, for our headline sounder. Find them at hurtbirdmusic.com. I didn't make it in under the drum thing, but oh well.
Thanks,
my
Rob.
Name's Brock Dittus. That's Rob Sadowski.
David Hetty.
That's David Hetty.
Thanks for having me.
And this is the Sprocket Podcast. Good night, and we will talk to you later.
Can I ask a question or two, Rob, before we get started? So I've heard a little bit of your story.
Yeah.
You, are you 1960? From Minnesota?
No.
Minneapolis.
No.
You're from somewhere in the Midwest area.
I just came from Chicago after living there 21 years. Okay.
I lived in Madison, Wisconsin for 3 years.
Madison,
that's kind of
Wisconsin.
Close to...
I think that was in your little bio.